Okay, now we're going to do a little bit today on something that's called the art of paradox, all right? Now, most of you probably know what a paradox is. It's an inexplicable fact that two things that are seemingly contradictory are both true. Meaning that one of them couldn't possibly be true, but yet they are. That's one explanation of paradox. Now, what the art of paradox means to me is that everything that we do is paradoxical through the language, because we behave as if it's operating in a dualistic fashion, meaning that I'm a separate person, so that then I do an action and that affects something external. That's all just a fabrication on the ultimate level. In the ultimate level, it's one intermingled unity that is expressing itself through its many members. So that in this art, as we practice it, it aids us in actually evolving to more expansive perfections when we're already at a place that's perfect. Just take a look around within you, etc. Slow down for one moment and see that, first of all, it's a perfection. You're alive, you're breathing, there's issues, no doubt, but we operate on perfections. We embody perfections. And then to proceed into more elaborate or more simple perfections, we utilize this art of paradox. And if not, it will be tough to actually break through the layers of programming, because if you look in art, all different forms of art, you will see the archetypes, these entrenched symbolic progressions, groups of symbols and single symbols that have been hammered into the collective unconscious for so long that they have a concrete reality given to them by the psychic energy of those who believe in them. I'll say that once more, that these archetypes and programs which are running in the background of all that we are and do and think and how we move and sway and operate and flow through this reality were given their life by those who believed and those who continue to believe in their truth, thereby giving them their life. That's the meaning of the fact that we are the controllers. We are these elite groups in reality, because we're the ones that have, us and our ancestors have given all of these sub-realities, sub-programmings, and elitist Illuminati, etc., cabal groups, their potential to reign from this simple fact. So, instead of ranting on this and getting stuck in that and making that one whole message, we then see that there are these tendencies in thought patterns, tendencies in feeling patterns, and in general, patterns in life that can, however, be gone against the grain. Now, if you're a somewhat rebellious person and you can sympathize with this idea of being a contrarian, and so that if someone tells you to jump, there ain't no way unless there's some reason for it. They tell you to turn right, you ask why. Now, that can be to your advantage, not maybe within the society, but in our true nature, this inquisitiveness, this questioningness, comes from the fact that we have some weird feeling within us, even those who are quote-unquote asleep, that we actually have the choice in this, that we actually have vast levels of potential that are dormant at the present time. Now, the art of paradox comes in staying on the razor's edge and asking questions like this: what do I love about my suffering? Why do I love what hurts me? Or why do I hate my contentedness? Why do I resent my happiness because it bores me? These type of questions, that's on the emotional realm. Now on the intellectual realm, the same thing you can do and say, now why do I love the fact that I don't know all the answers when it comes to, okay, science, one, mathematics, whatever realm you want to say? And why would I actually hate it if I had all the complete knowledge at my disposal? Because then the game would be over. And then what would be the seekingness, right? That's how you think at a certain positionality until it's realized that, oh wait, to be wholeness, it's actually self-rewarding. It's not a means to an end. It's just what it is. But you see how asking these questions that actually are uncomfortable and appear to be illogical to people bring you closer to the culmination of all sides within one unified entity. So that it's all well and good for someone to just milk the system and, you know, study the generic archetypes that are put in the most popular art, and then that's all fine. But then going further, one begins to deprogram by just seeing the tracks and the trains, and then deciding, would I like to actually follow? It's like you're skiing. It's like, do I want to go in this person's tracks? If the tracks are too deep, it might actually throw me off. It might actually cause me disaster. So it might be safer for me to go into this untrodden, completely clear, completely white field. Now, by doing this procedure, one of two main things will result. One, you'll either come to the conclusion that this will destroy you, and that trying different things and questioning different things is what actually brought you to an end, and that you come to find that death is a reality, and that you come to find that you're regretful and you wish that you followed a more traditional path. Or the other possibility is that you actually discover realms that are far more immersive, far more expansive, faster than you could have ever predicted beforehand. So there's the choice between the predictable and the unexpected. And then we know it's a false dichotomy. So it's a mix of both. So that's how you should reason, based on branching, spider webbing, constantly meta-evolving facets of the unlimited cosmic intelligence. And in this method of reasoning and being, there's no limit to it. However, you're in a solid foundation, because the assumptions that you hold are constantly consistently being examined, turned over, questioned, and the ones that are not fundamental are erased from the memory because they don't actually serve, they're not efficient. It's brutal, but any dogmatic beliefs, any false assumptions, upon analysis by the will of the strong, they're ruthlessly exterminated. And that's the kindest thing that can be done. Because then the pure nature is allowed more area for itself to thrive. So, obviously the balance of all different spectrums is super vital, so that, you know, if you're a male, then what's considered as feminine traits, you should look into and see how those apply to yourself as well, and vice versa. And, you know, if you're the traditionalist, that's fine. This may take you a little bit more exertion as far as things that are opposite to what you believe. So that, you know, if you're very traditional, it may be tougher for you to explore. Like, if you're female, it may be tougher for you to say, well, what are the masculine traits and how can I glean that? Or if you're traditional and you consider yourself not religious, it may be hard for you to actually glean. If you consider yourself atheist, then it may be hard to glean something from a tradition that uses deities as a facet of its system. Now, if you're the contrarian, it may be rather easy for you to discern what is not ideal within the society. However, what may be tough for you as the rebel is to see what is the good, or what is the balance in what exists presently, and not fall into this trap of, you know, just being the one who knocks something because it's there, as is the adolescent tendency. So, you know, we talk a lot about on here, coming from a childish state into passing through the adolescent phase, and then, I mean, shoot, just getting to adulthood. Let's not get ahead of ourselves thinking about even getting to the level of these enlightened masters, honestly, for the bulk of humanity. We're talking about small, small percentages of people that even are aware of this knowledge. I don't know what would happen if this was played for someone who, just point blank, they have no conception of any of this. I don't know how they could get through it. Hopefully, the certainty and the intention that's being transmitted could cause them at least some curiosity to see, you know, what's going on with this guy and what is he actually talking about. So we're dealing with tiny, tiny fractions is the point. And yeah, I mean, the majority of humanity is anywhere from the newborn stage into, there are some adepts on the planet, but that's rare. Most people at the most only develop to the adolescent stage of the human on their deathbed. I'm talking about 80, 90, 100-year-old people. They're rarely even to their adult stage. Regardless of the fact that, yes, they've gleaned wisdom, a lot of earthly, worldly wisdom, and they have started to go into the mental realms, into the spiritual realms. They're enriching themselves. But that's what happens to the adolescent, is the adolescent starts to have these full experiences like this and starts to glean some wisdom. In our society, we don't recognize that. And on the other side, there's plenty of people. Okay, I won't say plenty. there's people that actually are in a higher maturity state when they're quite young, and many are driven to even madness within the society. Now, that's where the internal reform comes in. And we don't flail about in the streets and make a bunch of noise with all the riots and do just stupid things. We do an internal reform. We go and transform our own consciousness, thereby rippling to those around us. And through this, one of the fruits of this is going to be that this planet and this area is becoming more hospitable to these old souls, mature souls that actually are in more advanced stages, so that hopefully they won't be forced to leave here through whatever means, because there's plenty of people that are, you know, advanced spiritual beings in young ages that actually are in complete despair because of how people choose to treat each other here and treat themselves. That this place can really be a hell on earth, or it can be a celestial paradise, as it was intended to be, and as it was in the beginning. So, the art of paradox, as we continue, is seeing that somehow you have a choice of all these things being either true or false, and realize that contrasting or contradictory things both seem to be true, or both seem to be false. And then it leads one back to the stillness. Okay, this is the Zen of the paradox, that upon pondering such an absurdity, the mind perceives its insufficiency, thereby making way for the higher faculties, which are unable to be fully explained. Plus, let's think about these higher faculties, shall we? And then make some metaphors to our average faculties and see why it is that it's not completely necessary to spend a lot of time on explaining, for instance, like, what is the astral body and what it does. Because do you have to be explained what your mind is and what it does, or do you learn by utilizing it as it is your natural birthright? Do we spend a lot of time on explaining what the emotions are and what they feel like? Like, do we have to teach the children what the anger feels like? In the same way, why is so much extra explication needed for what's termed as our subtle faculties, the abilities of the astral body, the bliss of the causal body, and then our other bodies that encapsulate vast amounts of the planet, or the entire sphere, the entire Earth, and beyond, the galaxy, etc. These faculties are just organic to us. They're inbuilt. So there's such a systematic fakeness to the systems that we're comfortable in operating with. You see that fakeness, artificiality, paralleled into the spiritual endeavors. So that, you know, we got a lot of people on the podium, whatever their garb is, whether they're the priest, whether they're the prophet, whether they're the mystic, whether they're the scientist, whether they're the politician, whatever their garb is, their profession, and whatever their game is, whatever their spin is, etc., it's not the exterior that causes one's inner vibration. And again, we're back to the statement that you can't actually fake your vibration. You can't actually fake what state you're in, except to those who are at such a naive state that they can't actually feel that. Now, is it possible to deceive people by, you know, the occult, basically, development of your magnetism? Oh, absolutely. And on the other side, it's completely possible to train your detection levels for when someone is doing that. And the fact that most people don't train that means that, yes, your average person is easily deceived. But there's always going to be an energetic signature that each and every object puts off at all times. And it transforms throughout times, obviously. Because there are certain days where, you know, the being may be in a more of a detoxification stage. So, you know, in that point, it is throwing off a lot of toxins. And that will be present in the aura, in the entire signature. And at other times, that process being completed, you will be back to a more vibrant state. Of course, ideally, because, you know, it's actually rather tough to maintain the equanimity despite looking at the external realities, especially how it's portrayed in media. Even media that claims to be underground or cutting edge or, you know, alternative, it's still just pandering to the same things, still fear-based, anger-based, filled with reactions towards the main media, right? So how many people are actually doing something that's original without reference to something that's artificial? That's the question. Because, yeah, we're dealing with paradoxes. So take any two positionalities and then, you know, see the similarities on them. See how they're part of one scale. And using whatever means possible. I mean, one reason why it is somewhat of a recreation to go about this consciously is that this is going to occur. All beings are going to eventually regain the knowledge of their origin and the inner comprehension of their ultimate destiny. What is undetermined is which parts of the whole will come to those culminations at what times. And at what points, which are both references to time and space. So how can I actually encapsulate what that means? You can't, with words. So there's many metaphors for what this construct is, this matrix is. Probably the most famous one is just that God was bored. Deity was bored. And just created this spectrum. So you can utilize mythology. I mean, if a concept actually drives one closer to liberation through either pole, how can it be declared evil? Right? So that means that even experiencing something completely what could be seen as terrible, if it drives you towards a fuller extent of wanting to experience your fullness, how can it be defined as a tragedy? And as a parallel to that, if something that is said to be a miracle or amazing occurs, but it makes you more complacent towards self-knowledge, Can it actually be declared to be a boon? So that people that are born in extreme wealth, that don't have to lift a finger, how much of a service is that to them? How much more lost are they? So, calling into account all assumptions, and then counter-assumptions, and then counter-counter-assumptions, we are still reasoning, existing in a meta-fashion in which all things build upon one another, go through other stages of dissolution, and then reemerge as something slightly different, but with an odd twinge of familiarity. Towards what ultimate end is the question? What is the final purpose? What is the primordial pattern? What was the inception, the intention that birthed all existences? These are the type of questions that lead the mind past itself into the point where it gives way to those things that we shall not desecrate by seeking to explain them. Now, that silence, wordless bliss, is complete in and of itself. All positionalities and all things stem from that emptiness or void, which is a full void. The ultimate paradox. So that if one thing is portrayed as good, suspicion should arise. If something is portrayed as wholly evil, suspicion should arise. This is fundamental to other cultures. That's why this is still spirituality 101. That's it. Because in the conception of yin and yang, it's understood that nothing is completely yin without a sliver of yang, and nothing is completely yang without having a little bit of yin. That's fundamental to Chinese philosophy. Yet, in our so-called sophistication of the Western nations, which I would not wish to claim as my culture, because it does not resonate. Now, however, there is a purpose for why we're here and now. So many of you that are hearing this, understand, we don't so easily get along with this way of being, but can we see the amazing part of it and be grateful, even when it's taken at someone's expense? That's the grungy part of it. The fact that all these luxuries that we enjoy and our standard of living is achieved by depriving someone else of that. Ultimately, that's not the case because there's abundance. However, in the systems that we have right now, we are not being allowed to use the technology that is capable of tapping into that abundance. Now, I say it that way because it's just common sense. Governments and those in control always have technology that is many decades beyond what is given to the general population. Now, that needs to stop because we're in a very vital phase of our expansion now. So, you know, this is beyond conspiracies. It's just, you know, we got to be cut and dry with it. It's just, it's really not playtime anymore. Now, we enjoy it, but it's like, you know, when people are dying, especially when that could be prevented and would be prevented when those people have a better opportunity and better education, etc. It's just, it's not really playtime. So it's not really time to just sit there. But also, something very important for those of you who resonate with this type of message is, like, be kind to yourself. So allow a fraction of what those around you do. So you see people watch like 5 hours of television. Well, find your parallel. So just instead of that, just maybe 1 hour of some other type of material, some more quote-unquote conscious type of material. But that label is even, gets on the nerves, because it's like, well, you're implying everything else is unconscious, which is somewhat true. It does have to do with subconscious programming. But see, these labeling, and of course we know it's L's laboratory, it's really not too helpful. So that's the tough part of the art of the paradox, is that we're operating with things with limitation in order to achieve the smallest amount of limitation possible, right? So we're striving towards limitlessness through vessels that are by their nature limited. Those and many other paradoxes exist. Now, I'm giving you a small number of them. The rest can be discerned through your experience without the robotic approach, where you just, it doesn't even work. That's the problem. It's like you have this time and then maybe everything's perfect. What, I don't even know how to explain to you, because what would you like? Whether it's depicted in a movie, so that you wake up and that your significant other, you have breakfast in bed, and then it's like this one thing's planned, and then, you know, it's the best day of your life. Okay, I'm just going to skip through all the details, and you can fill them in. And then, what's that unavoidable, inescapable feeling that's terrible? That feeling of depression, as you realize that never again will you get to experience a day like that. And then your attachment to that makes you tragically sad. But people actually just choose to suppress that and allow that to fester into a greater illness, because it lies under the thick skin of their unawareness. Now, that's why we explain that we actually enjoy this, because on the other side of the coin, when you experience a terrible tragedy, someone close to you dies, you know that there's a great feeling of relief, a great feeling of happiness that accompanies these extremely sad moments, a feeling of freedom as an attachment is purged. So, we're not hedonists, nor are we masochists, and we can make an entire list of different characteristics and just say, neti neti, not this, not that, not arrogant, not overly humble, not too intelligent, not too stupid. So any label that you can think of, it's always going to be nah, because that can't encompass you. It doesn't matter how lofty it is, how many, you want to say that you're Archbishop Knight Kadosh of the Shining Star. It's just absurd. There's no label that can actually explain your greatness or anything else's greatness, because we're not trying to elevate something over another, because that's L's job. But yeah, so that's what it is. You know, I feel like we're going to be going with this for a bit. We're going to do Art of Paradox, because that really encapsulates all that this is and explains why more people don't actually do this, even if they have this type of awareness or knowledge, because the terror of the paradox sets in, and it's like, no, I don't even want to create, because then I get in the judgment and the self-judgment and then other people weighing in on it, and then I tie myself into it, and then I feel like, you know, so there's a lot of reasons, but at the end of the day, it's just think, decide, act, you know, straight shots, and then you look back one day and it's like, wow, you know, there was really a lot that was gleaned from all of this. So that's what's up. That's what's enriching, is actually to act and to create and to exercise our abilities and potentials, and not always need the explanations, not always need the verifications and the intellectualizations, but just to go through it. And, you know, we all learn from it. There's the teacher is the student. There's really the hierarchy does not exist on the plane that we came from and that we return to when we realize our innermost essence.